Daf is Daf Chaf Zayin. So I assume everyone got to the bottom of Chaf Vav Amar Beis, Amar Shmuel. Okay. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Yisa Adam, person should, Yisa literally means marry, but I think it's beneficial for a person to marry Dome, Val Yisa Bas Dome. So what does this mean? So it says Rashi in the very top of Chaf Zayin Amar Aleph, Dome, Nitenes Vinaberes Bifi, Kol al niyufer. Dome is a person who speaks about all the znus she does. So it's better for a person to marry such an individual. Rashi continues to explain his dome is lashon kalsa, the dibur kedamrin benida dome irach al sabicha. Quote to Gemara that the lashon of dome it means to speak. Vehu lav chashad hu el dibur yeser she medabrin baal chavivusa shel baalat. The Gemara there indeed is referring to speaking more just about how much she loves her husband, not in a bad way. But excessive talk. Af kalsa lashon dibor yeserhu. It's also extra talk. Lefikachu nepach lashon shevach v'lashon genaik. So sometimes excessive talk could be positive, and sometimes it could be negative. In the context of nida, it's positive. Here it means negative. So the Gemara says it's better to marry someone who's a duma, who again speaks a lot about her znus, va'isa bas duma, as opposed to the daughter of such an individual. Why? Because the one who's actually speaks about all her znus, she at least came from a tipa ksher. She came from a kosher source, as opposed to the daughter of such an individual. So you have no idea where the mother has been. So it's very possible the daughter herself is a mamzeres, and therefore it's better to marry that way. It sounds pretty interesting. You know, in terms of relationship, you imagine the one who's only the daughter of a duma would be a better relationship. She wouldn't be with other men. But in terms of the pnimia says there, in terms of where they come from, it's a more kosher to marry the woman herself who's a duma as opposed to the daughter of a duma. Rashi then says, rather the Gemara continues to say, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Yesh Adam Bas Duma, Val Yisa Duma. So again, Amar Yisa Adam Bas Duma, Val Yisa Duma. He says the other way around, Rabbi Yochanan thinks it's better to marry the daughter of a duma as opposed to a duma herself. Shizu omedes b'chezkas kashrus. The one who's only the daughter of such a duma, but she herself is, let's say, a very big tinua. So even though she may have, possibly, we don't know for sure, possibly she came from a mamzeres, but we don't know for sure, but she herself is b'chezkas kashrus. Vizu ain't omedes b'chezkas kashrus. But the one who speaks about what she's done, and she has no cheskas kashrus, Rashi explains, Vizu ain't omedes b'chezkas kashrus. Shemizana tachta v'nasar salav. She's also to her husband. She admits she's also to her husband. Who ain't a roev, ain't a migarsha, obala b'isser. And the husband's not paying attention, the husband's not divorcing her, and they're staying with each other b'isser. So such that individual, that duma, is worse to stay married to than the bas duma. Okay, interesting machlokas. Warren asks a question, Mesive, no se adam duma. So the Baraita says, a person may marry a duma. So it sounds like this is in support of the first opinion. The first opinion was Shmuel, that one can marry a duma. So Amar Rava, Rava says, V'tizvara nosei lechachila? Wait a second. Lashon of nosei sounds like lechachila. We would allow someone, we would perhaps encourage someone to go ahead and marry a duma. Would that, even if the one who thinks, even according to Shmuel, who says it's better to marry a duma than the bas duma, he still doesn't think it's good to marry a duma. It's just if those are the two options you have to marry the duma or the daughter of the duma herself is better, but still not lechachil to marry a duma. Se'ela im nasa. It should say, if one married a duma, then one can stay married. So Rashi explains here, see Rashi v'tizvara nosi lechachila. Is one allowed to marry a duma lechachila? Havadei mekalkalei. She certainly has, she talks about all this and she did. How is that permitted to get married to her lechachila? Therefore, we must interpret it to say, Mishibashtahi, this must be a mistake in this braisa. Ubais letruta, we have to explain the braisa. Ulemisnein, to teach in the braisa. Im nasa adam duma mutter. If one does marry a duma, then it's mutter. We allow them to stay married. The chayven de bais letruta, since we have to re explain and reinterpret this braisa, alma tana lav dafka, must be that this tana is not meant to be taken literally and specifically the way it was written. You can't ask a kasha from it because the ikal meimar have a hanami ta, v'tani nami bas duma. So just like we said, the word nose should really be nasa. So too, when the word says duma, it could also be bas duma. So that's what the Gemara says. So back to the Gemara, it says ella. Since everyone agrees, it can't be nose the chachila. Ella must be ella im nasa, and therefore tani nami bas duma as opposed to duma. So there is no raya from this brisa because once there's a mistake in the brisa, you could say any part of the brisa is a mistake. And the Gemara says the Hilchasa, the bottom line is, how do we paskin? Yisa Adam Bas Duma, Va Yisa Duma. It's better for a person to marry the daughter of a Duma, because she at least says, as much as we know, she's a Tzanua, and not to marry the Duma herself, who herself she's a Prutza. The Tanya of Tachlifa Bar Marva Kami de Rabbi Abba, who he taught, Isha Mizana Baneha Ksher, a woman who herself is Mizane, her children are still kosher. Why? Very important concept. The Gemara in Kedushin, I think, also mentions this. Rov Bilos Achar Baal. Even though she might be with other men, most of the Bias we could follow Rov was with her own husband. And therefore, we could assume, based on the Rov, that her children are still kosher. So therefore, the Bas Duma is better to marry the Bas Duma. We could still assume that she comes from a Tipa Kshera. And she's also a Tzanua. Therefore, we paskin, it's better to marry a Bas Duma as opposed to a Duma herself. Okay, Tosa just points out here, Rov Bilos Achar Baal, he says, Lo Iri Ella Bekala, the Pasuk Baskin and Kirav, Lo Tetzid Rov Bilos Achar Baal. So, it's only referring to if there's a certain rumor. The rumor is going around about the mother being with another man. So we hold like Rav that we don't force them to get divorced, because we still assume Rov Bilos are Achar Baal. But it sounds like if there was real Eidos, that would be a different story, though. I'm not going to read the whole Tosfos here, but that's what it sounds like from the beginning of Tosfos. Then the Gemara asks, "By Rav Amram, Ha'isa Prutza Biyoser Mahu? Let's say she's a real big Prutza. What does Prutza Biyoser mean?" So Rashi says here, "Ha'isa Prutza Biyoser Deika Lemechash Dero Bilos of Mishacherim." Let's say she was such a Prutza that there's a possibility to say that Rov Bilos were actually with another man. So what about that case? In that case, will we assume then the children are not hers, and the children are rather hers, but they're not the husband, the father's, her husband, rather than somebody else, and therefore they're mamzerim? So Aliba the mandamar, according to the one who thinks, ain't isha mishaberes, ela samech levesta lo tibarlecha, delo yada bav lo mintarla. The one who thinks that a woman could only become pregnant close to her vesa, when she's expected to see nida. So there's not a shayla there, lo tibarlecha, it's not a shayla, because he doesn't delo yada bav lo mintarla, he doesn't know, and he's not watching over. So what does this mean? So Rashi explains, ain't isha mishaberes, ela samech levesta, lefnei vesas nidosa yom echad. So if the opinion thinks a woman will only become pregnant a day before she sees her nida, delo yada habal as vesed nidasa, the husband is not aware of when her vesed is, when she's expected to see the nida, delanatra osa hayom, to protect her that day, mizanos shelo tisaber business, to protect her from being with another man. So therefore it's not a shiloh, then definitely it will be mamzer of the children. Because if ro bilos ha'achar, another man, and if you assume the one day that she's going to become pregnant is the day before nida, he doesn't know her schedule, so he can't protect her, so we have to go rov, bilos, achar, some other man. Kiti barlecha, when we had such a shaila, was aliba deman damar einishim saberes elo samach letfilasa. Ah, so if the opinion thinks that she ovulates right at the beginning, right when she goes to the mikvah, that's the ideal time when she's going to become pregnant. So kevin de yadaba, mintar mintarla, he knows when she goes to the mikvah, that much he knows. But then he's going to watch over and ensure that rov bilos of the day after, the moment after tevila, that day, he'll know to protect her, then rov bilos will attack her after the husband. Odimah, or perhaps we're going to say, kevin de pruta biyosa, or since she's such a pruta, lo. Even in that case, he can't even protect her, he can't even watch over her. And there's still a chashash, she was with another man, even the day of tevila, day after tevila. And therefore, the Gemara concludes, in the Teku, we don't know if such a Pruta Yoser, whether we could assume her children are Mamzerim, or we could assume that they're Ksherim. Now, Tosus points out here also, look at Tosus, Dibra Maschel, Aliba Demandamar, Ein Ishim Saberes, El Samech Levesta. He writes, you see two wide lines down, he explains that Yesh Lomer Kigon Shelo Kava Vesis. It has to be referring to a situation where she has no set schedule, because if she had a set schedule, we would assume the husband would be familiar with that a little bit. So we have to be assuming that there's no set schedule, he doesn't know when the need is going to come, and therefore, we have to assume the rov bilos is from another man. And Rashi Tosu says further, V'hu adin, the Hava Matzi Lememar could have said, Kigon de lo kavaveses, lo tibaylecha, the Gemara could have said all that, and when was there no Shiloh? That was definitely not her, not the husband's. That was when there was no Veses. But Kiti Barlecha, when the Gemara had a Kasha, we could say Hecha de Kava Veses. The Gemara could have answered that way and made such a Chiluk. Ella Milsa de Psika, Nakit, they wanted to decide something that was a little bit more definitive. Okay, but in Echanami, that seems to be another good distinction according to Tosfos. Okay, the Gemara now says, quote from the Mishnah of Elusha Bezdim. So we mentioned in the Mishnah a few days ago that there are a few situations where the husband's able to step in and they could be mekaneh instead of the husband. And that was situations, if I remember correctly, by a cheresh, a shote, and one who's in the beis asurim. I think those are three cases where the Beis Din could step in and give the proper kinui. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan Ish, Matam Lomer Ish, Lerabos, Eishes Cheresh, Veishes Shota, Veishes Shimum, Ushahalach Baila Lemidinas Hayam, Vishaya Chavish Bebeis Asur, Shebez Din Mekanin Lahen, Leposlan Miksuvasan. So the Pasuk says in regards to Sota, the Pasuk read on the side here, right? Daber al b'nei silva marta aleim ish ish ki siste isho umala mo bomal. Why does it use a lashon ish ish? And the Gemara is telling us a drasha that there's another entity that's going to be included in the word ish, and that's the Bezdin. And there's certain situations, as we said, that Bezdin could step in and provide the kinoi. And that was, I'll define everything, a wife of a cheresh, a wife of a shota, a wife of a shimon. We saw shimon was a shota yoser, someone who really lost his sanity. Someone whose husband was overseas, someone whose husband was in jail. These variety of cases is when Bezdin could step in, and that sounds like it's a real din d'oraisa. It's included under the pasuk of ish ish. We mentioned when we saw this in the Mishnah a few days ago that there's machlokes rishonim whether or not the ability of Bezdin to give the kinoi was that a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. Pasuk of the Gemara here is a din d'oraisa. It's based on ish ish, but we saw that the mabit the kiyas.
Yesterday we said that that's not the pshat.
Yesterday. That ish was coming to exclude. That ish, the first ish I think was coming to exclude. I don't think it was the extra ish. It may have even been a different pasuk.
Because the Gemara yesterday went through a lot of possibilities, yep. And the last one was behema.
That was shach of ish osa shich lazar. That ish in a different pasuk. It's coming to exclude. Today we're learning the extra word ish in a different pasuk, still in the parsha of Sota though. So, according to the Pshat of the Gemara, it sounds like it's a real din d'oraisa. It's a real source that Bezdin has the right. But we did see that the Kiryas Sefer, the Mabit, says that it's only a smach, it's only din d'rabbanan. I'll say something only because I heard of Shechta say this, that when the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch were in this race, so to say, of creating the ultimate Sefer of Halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch ended up winning, he became the ultimate Sefer. And the Ramah had to pull back and said, okay, I can't add another Sefer, but I'll just write my comments on the Shulchan Aruch as he did. There was a third Rishon or Achron who was in the same race. That was the Mabit Kiryas Sefer. He wrote also a final product, and he wrote only on the Rambam himself. That was called Kiryas Sefer. He was the third one, and he didn't really make it. So Shechta says, because he has so many different chidushim there, he was too much of a Baal Mechadesh that it wasn't accepted. It wasn't such a mainstream type of thinking. So the number of places he has tremendous chidushim.
They lived in the same place?
No, the Beis Yosef lived in Tzvat, Ramar lived in Cairo, Krakow, and I don't know where the Mabit lived. I think he possibly lived in Egypt somewhere.
So they were really like
I don't know for sure. Right, but I know Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch did have correspondence with each other. Uh-huh. Ramah was very young. Ramah, according to most, he died when he was 33 only, so he was well accomplished, even though he lived a very young age. And the Beis Yosef, when he heard of him, had correspondence with Ramah, had asked him certain shilas. So the Mabit, anyway, so that was Mabit. Somehow he reads this Gemara here as saying it's only an Esmach Tavalma. Bezdin's right to be Mekane is only Din D'Rabbanan. Okay, so anyway, so when Bezdin gives their kinoi, what it does is that if she goes ahead and has a stira, it disqualifies her from collecting her ksuba. The Gemara says, Yachal af lashkosan. One would think also maybe they have the ability, Bezdin has the ability to give her kinoi, to make her drink. Tamalomar, vehevi ha'ish es ishta. Only the man, only ha'ish has the ability to bring her to drinking, but nobody else does. Bezdin does not have that right. Yos yomar af lashkosa. Even the ability to drink. Bezdin could give a kinoi, and if she has stira, they could drink. However, the drinking takes place only l'chshiyot sabal mebeis asurim yashkena. That the drinking, the kinoi is chal, but you do it. He agrees you need the husband to bring her to drink. But the kinoi is still an effective kinoi, according to Rabbi Yossi. And it can set up the stage for her being brought to drink. So, by my kamithlagi, what's a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama, whether Bezdin has the right to do a kinoi for the purposes of drinking or not? Rabbanan Tzavi, Ba'inan v'kinoi v'hevi, the Lashon kinoi and hevi, even though they're two different psukim, they still have to be, they're psukim right next to each other, they're adjacent to each other, they're still exactly the same person who does the hevi has to also do the kina. As opposed to Yossi, Savar lo, Ba'inan v'kinoi v'hevi, the different pasuk. V'hevi ha'ishas ishto, that's one pasuk. But it doesn't, just because they're next to each other, doesn't mean that the ish is also the same person who has to do the kina, and therefore he allows a Bezdin, based on the words ish ish, Bezdin's included as well. Okay. Now the Gemara now says, Tana Rabbanan, Asher Tista Isha, Tachas Isha. So they make the woman, the wife, drink when she's underneath her Isha, with the Mapeke, with under her husband. Lahakish Isha L'Isha, there's a Hekish between the wife and the husband, meaning the Isha L'Isha, and there's also a Hekish of the wife to the husband. Husband to the wife, and the wife to the husband. What does this mean? The Mahilch, with regards to which halacha does this Hekish go back and forth? So Amar of Sheshes, Kishem She'im Hu Suma Lohaya Mashke. Just like if he was a Suma, he wouldn't be able to make her drink. Dichsev V'Ne'elam Meina Isha, that it was disappeared or became blind to the eyes of the Isha, mean that the husband had the ability to see, he just didn't see this. This went under, right below him, he wasn't able to see this well, but he has the ability to see, just this particular case he didn't see. But if he was a Suma, he wouldn't be able to make her drink. Kach, so too, im hayisa suma, if she were to be a suma, lo hayisa shosa. So that's the hekish. So again, we learn from the pasuk, ne'elam meina isha, that this particular act went unseen by the husband, even though he normally can see. But the implication is, if he cannot see, if he's a suma, there's no halach of sota. So to the hekish teaches us that if she's a suma, there will be no din of sota. That's what the hekish tells us, according to Rosh Hashas. Then according to Rashi, Rashi says no. Ravashi Amar Kishem Shechigeres Vigidemes Lo Haisa Shosa. Just like a woman who has a limp or missing a limb, either because she can't stand or she's missing arms, she's missing some part of the limb or they're not functioning properly. She does not drink. Dichsiv Veheemid HaKohen Es HaIsha Lefnei Hashem V'Nosen Al Kapel. The Kohen stations her. She has to be standing. V'lo Chigeres, says Rashi, but she can't be missing a leg. And it has to be nasan al kapeh, placed in her hands, not someone who's missing hands. So a woman who's missing either arms or legs is disqualified from the sota. Kahu im hu hayachiger och gidem lo hayamashke. Through this hekesh, if he were to be missing a leg, or if he were to be missing arms or hands, he would also not be able to enforce her to drink the sota. That's the second pshat. And the third pshat is, mar barav ashi amar kishem she'ilemes lo hayasa shosa. Had she been in ilemes, mute, she wasn't able to speak. She does not drink. Dichsiv v'amra ha'isha amen amen. She has to articulate the words amen to say amen to the curse, amen to the shuvah. But if she can't, she's going to be pater. So too through the hekish. Kachu imaya ilaim lo hayamashke. So if he were to be an ilaim, if he were to be a mute, he too couldn't be mashke. Hajan alach arusa. Okay, beautiful. We finished the fourth parak. Let's begin the fifth parak now.
I knew I had to bring it, but I forgot. Let's pause.
Okay, there's an interesting thing in the back here. They quote from Yushalmi before you start the parak. Yushalmi asks, how do we know if she is a suma that she doesn't drink? So the Yushalmi answers, not through the hekesh here. Remember, he has to be able to see. And through the hekesh, she also therefore has to be able to see just because of the hekesh. Yushalmi says, no, you know why she's pater when she's a suma? It's because Rabbi Huda holds, suma's pater mikol mitzvos hamoros b'torah. She's pater from all mitzvos. So that's why she's pater from drinking. So they quote the Mar Panim here, and Yushalmi asks, or says, point out that this goes according to the Man D'Amar, that a suma's pater not only from mitzvos aseh, but pater even from mitzvos los aseh. Because the whole idea of sota, I guess, is it came about through a los aseh, and therefore she's pater from this entire parsha. If you assume that, although Suma's pater in mitzvah aseh, but she's chayv in los aseh, so she violated the los aseh of what led to the sota, and therefore she would be obligated to complete the process of sota. Okay, interesting. Let's begin the new parak now. The mission begins, the parak begins, Kishem shemayim botkin osa, kach hamayim botkin osa. Just like the waters check her, the one who's actually drinking it, it also checks the husband. Checks husband with regards to what? We'll see in the Gemara. The Shinemar, how do we know this, that it checks him, whatever it's checking him from, but how do we know it does check him? Shinemar, uvo, uvo. The pasuk, the two psukim, not next to each other, but nearby. One pasuk says, uvo hamayim hamarim ha'ila, then the bitter waters come in. And the other pasuk says, v'hishke es ha'isha es mehamarim hamarim, uvo, uvo hamayim. So it says the second time, again, the two psukim away from each other, but it says, uvo hamayim, the water comes in. Why is the water coming? Why is the water checking? Two different indications, because it's two different people. It checks her, and it checks him. Kishem shasur lebal, kach asur lebal. So another din being taught here. I'm not sure if it's directly connected. It's another kishem. But just like she is going to be usher to her husband now, so too she is aser to the Baal. Shenamar, how do we know this to be true? Nitma divrei Rabbi Akiva. It says the word nitma two times in the psukim. She's tame to her husband and she's tame to the Baal. This is a Gemara, a Mishnah that's invoked many places in Shas, many places in the Mishnah. Aser the Baal, aser the Baal. She's aser both to her husband and she's aser to the Baal as well. That's all according to Rabbi Akiva. Comes along Amar Rabbi Yeshua Kachaya Dorish Zechariah ben Akatzav. He quoted the name of Rabbi Zechariah. Rabbi Omer in the name of Rabbi. Otherwise, is that all part of the same statement, I guess? That's Rabbi Akiva. No, it's a new thing. So he said, Rabbi Omer, they quoted from Rabbi. Rabbi would say, Shnei pamim hamur b'parsha, nitma nitma echa labal echa labal. So isn't that the same drush as Rabbi Akiva? It says nitma two times, one to tell me that she's usher to the husband, and one to tell me that she's usher to the boel. Let's see what Rashi says here. Rashi says, nitma nitma, vav yisera darish, asher tista isha tachas isha v'nitma. It should say really nitma. It says vinidma, so the extra vav is what? It's the drasha. The drasha, Rabbi Zechariah, is a different drasha. The kachaya, Rabbi Zechariah, darish vav yisera. Shtei pamim vinistera vihi nitma. Lo mi minyana hu do kimna latuma vadais be'ed echad beperkama. Ela v'kines isha vihi nitma v'haisa im nitma. V'od ksiv asher tiste isha tachas isha v'nitma. U'begamara darish le Rabbi Kiva l'tshuma Rabbi Nami Modei. The Gemara is going to explain a little bit further, but the drasha according to Rebbe is not based on the vavs, rather it's based on the nidmas used. The word nidma appears two times. Again, they both agree la halacha that asa the baal, asa the baal. That they agree with. The question is, what's the drasha? So Rabbi Kiva says the drasha is the extra vav. It should say nitma. What's vinitma? To tell me that es echa labal, echa labal. And comments on Rabbi says, no, it says nitma in two different psukim. One nitma as for is the baal, and one nitma is for the baal. And Rashi is alluding to us that Rabbi Kiva, what he does with the words nitma, nitma, the double lashon, is to teach me that she's also asur to eat chuma. How does Rabbi know the isur chuma? That's going to be learned from another pasuk. But that's what's going on here. But again, la halacha, they all agree, it's just the drasha that's being used. So bo bayom, that day, bo bayom darish, Rashi explains what that means, bo bayom. That day, Rashi says, b'meseches brachos daf chavches, our meaning the Gemara tells us, dechol heicha detani bo bayom, whenever the Mishnah uses the word bo bayom, it refers to, hu yom sho shivu et Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, linesiyas, shenis rabu tamidim shenasu rishus likarnis lakol, this after Rabbi Gamliel put a certain admission fee again to the base medrash, that the whole fight, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, a lot going on in the base medrash that day, and Rabbi Gamliel was ousted, and they invited Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was only 18 at the time, to be the base medrash, and he opened up the doors to everyone to come in. Shehayir Rabbi Gamliel, he goes on to explain all this, he explains, I guess, Kol Tamil Chacham Shein Tocho Kivara Al Yichnus Beis HaMedrash. Any Tamil Chacham whose inside is not like his outside, he has to have the proper midos and derech eretz. If he's not like that, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah opened up the base medrash to all types of people to come in, and there's tremendous learning that day. So anytime it says bo bayom, it means that day when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah opened up the base medrash, with so much was learned that day, so much was mechadeh, so many darshanim took place that day. So that's what happened. So what was the drasha that the Mishnah he's referring to? Ubo bayom darish Rabbi Kiva, that day Rabbi Kiva darshened v'chli cheres hasheipol mehem el tocho, kol asher besocho yitma. So kli cheres, any earthenware pot, asher yipol mehem, that fell from them, el tocho, into it, kol asher besocho yitma. Anything within it should become tame. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, see Rashi, it's not bold, but it's a two dots, it's right after the Rashi that we were just reading, it's right above the Rashi of Eino Omer Tame. Rashi says, kli cheres, hu rishon, shenitma min hasheret. We're talking about a situation where an earthenware pot became tameh from a sheret. It touched the sheret. Ve'ochel shebesocho sheni shenitma b'kli. And the food that's within the kli cheres became tameh because it touched the kli.
But this inside, right? Because only the tameh from the inside.
Right, that's what the one is going to explain. But the basics of tumah, I'll just explain the Rashi prakim of tumah. There's a certain thing that's an ava tumah. Ava tumah would be tumah, a mace, a sheret. A nevela might be a little bit different. A nida, a zav, a balkari, these are all avtumas. And an avtuma could make anything tame. And pretty much four categories that can become tamei. There's Adam and Kalim are grouped together, man and Kalim, and then there's Ma'achel Amashia, food and drink. So an Avatuma can make any of those tamei. A Rishon Latuma can only make food and drink tamei, but it cannot make a person or a Kalim tamei. So again, the Sheretz touched the Kli. The Kli is now a Rishon only. It's a lower level than Av. This Kli cannot make another Kli tamei. This Kli cannot make a person tamei. The Kli can make food and drink tamei. So what's going on here is the Sheretz touches the Kli is a Rishon, and now the Kli touches food and the drink that's within the Kli Cheretz, and now that food can become tamei. That's the background. So let's read this in the Mishnah again. So the Mishnah says, quoting the Pasuk, again, Bo Bayom Dar Shabbi Kiva, Uchle Cheres, this earthenware pot, Asheifo Mehem, El Tocho, that Sheretz falls within it, it sounds like, or touches it, Kol Ashebesocho, anything that's in it, any food or drink that's in this Kli Cheres is Yitma, will become tamei. So Gemara says, Eino Omer Tamei Ela Yitma. It's a strange Lashon. Yitma sounds like it will make something else tamei. It should really say, Kol Ashebesocho, Tamei is tamei. What do you mean Yitma? So explains the Rabbi Kiva, Ela Yitma L'Tamei Acherim. It has the ability, the food that's in it now has the ability to be mitame other things as well. How does that work? We just explained that doesn't work that way. So the Gemara explains, Mishnah explains, Lamad al Kikar Sheni, Shemetam Sashlishi. No, if there's a food that's in the Kli Cheres, again, the Sheretz is the Avatuma. The Sheretz touches the Kli Cheres is a Rishon. The Rishon touches the food that's inside, the Kikar that's inside, the Kikar is a Sheni. And he says, now a Sheni has the ability to be Yitma, not Tame, it's a Yitma, can now be Metame another Kikar, which will then be a Shlishi Lutuma. That was the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. Well, so Jirashi explains, though, Shemitame is a shlishi, he says, B'tshuma, v'afilu b'chulin dekras tamaksiv. It could be metame chuma on a third level. Not only chuma, but it could also be metame chulin.
Yeah, we don't hold it.
I don't think we hold that way, correct. I don't believe so. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua comes along, mi gala afar meinecha, who removed the dirt that was from on your eyes. So I guess that was his way of rejecting Rabbi Kiva. Let's see.
Harry, you got the good thing. No, okay. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who removed the cover of dust from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai?
Aha. Me'enecha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who removed the dust?
If only someone could remove the dust so that he could see this wonderful proof.
Aha, okay. He had been nifter at that point. So I guess it's Chiesa Mesim. So whoever removed the dust from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to see, Shayisa Omer, I guess he's referring to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's talking to him, I guess, in a way. You used to say, Asid Dor Acher Latar Kikar Shlishi. You had predicted that in the future someone would come, there'd be a generation that would be Matar, a Kikar Shlishi. She'ein lo mikra minator shud tame. That there's no pasuk in the Torah that says it's tame. V'halo Rabbi Kiva Tamidacha. Your student Rabbi Kiva, maybe lo mikra minator. He brings him a first pasuk. Shud tame that the Taka Kikar Shlishi is tame. She'nemar kol asher besocha yitama. They said, you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you had said that no one's going to ever find the pasuk to say Kikar Shlishi is going to be Tameh. You thought someone's going to bring a proof that it's going to actually be Tahor, and comes on your Talmud, Rabbi Kiva, and says it's actually Tameh based on a Mefurish pasuk. So was that his way of praising Rabbi Kiva? And he's denouncing the Nevuah of his Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I guess? Okay, interesting. The Mishnah says now, Boba Yom, that very day, that same day, Darish Rabbi Kiva had another drasha. Umidosa michutz la'ir, es pas kedma, apayim ba'ama. So it's referring to the different dimensions of the Ari Migrash, I think. That the cities, that areas are, that surround the cities of the Ari Miklat.
The Rashi, which is Atir Dorachir, that's within learn
at yet? No, that we did read.
But he has a different
shot. Let's see. Rashi's Asid Dor Acher, Min Ha'asidim Lavo. He predicted that one of the future generations would come, Shei Taher Shashlishi, that would say that the third Kikar would actually be Tahor. Apachuma.
Yeah, we were saying that he was going to be Metameh.
You know, that's what he could say. Continue reading. He says, you predicted one way.
Right.
Shein lo mikum min ha-Torah. Va'ananhu di Metaminim. But we're saying it's Tameh Le, Bechuma, Mikavachomer, Kidmafarish Bigamara, the Dorachir, Parachle, the Kavachomer. So the Gemara is going to explain a little bit further.
We're not talking now about Hulin then.
According
to his responding of Pasuk, only the Truma.
Now he's saying that the Rabbi Yochanan Dake predicted that someone would come along and be Metaher, not only Chulin, but would even be Metaher Truma on the Shlishi. And we have now Rabbi Kiva coming along to bring a Drasha who's Metame, Truma, and also Chulin. So it's going against the prediction of Rabbi Yochanan Dake. Okay, so now again, the next Drasha that Rabbi Kiva makes is Baba Yom, Darsh Rabbi Kiva. He makes another Drasha here. It's referring to, again, the cities of Elvim, the Ari Miklat. Ari Miklat had this surrounding area called the Ari Migrash, the Migrash around them. The Pasuk says, Umadosem, Michutz Tair es Pas Kedma, Apaim Ba'ama. You would draw a radius of 2,000 Amos around the city. Okay. Mikra Acher, another Pasuk said, Amar Mikir Ha'ir, V'chutza Elef Ama, Saviv. It says, from the wall of the city, only 1,000 Amos. So it sounds like, is it 1,000 or is it 2,000? Ef Shalomar Elef Amah, you couldn't take Elef Amah literally, Shikfar Nemar Apayim Amah, because the other pasuk says 2,000 Amah. Ef Shalomar Apayim Amah, you can't say 2,000 Amah, Shikfar Nemar Elef Amah, because the other pasuk tells us 1,000 Amah. Okay, he said, how could this be true? Elef Amah Migrash, Vapayim Amah Tchuma Shabbos. Two different drushes. One is to tell me that the first 1,000 Amos, that radius, is for the purpose of Migrash, and the 2,000 Amos is for the purpose of Tchum Shabbos. So it comes from this. What's Migrash? The purpose of Migrash? That was the area, I think, that had to be left over to be used for fields and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So you couldn't build in that area. And the 2,000 Amos was for the Tchum Shabbos to know how far to walk on Shabbos. Now this would indicate Rabbi Kiva holds throughout Shas, I believe he's the opinion who holds, Rabbi Kiva holds Tchumim Deraisa. The big machlokes whether Tchum Shabbos is Deraisa Derabanan. We typically assume Tchum is only Derabanan. But Rabbi Kiva, based on this Drasha, thinks Tchum is actually a Din Deraisa.
Because the Pesach is one Pesach after the other, and they mention the second one before the first.
What do you mean?
I think they do that. And one is Bamidbar Lamed Hei Hei, and then one is Lamed Hei Dalet.
Ah, that.
Elef is before Alpine.
They do that, I think, of somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, then comes along Rabbi Eliezer, Benosha Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Elef Ama Migrash, Vapaim Ama Sado Sukramim. No, the concept of Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 Amos, Tchum Shabbos is not a din deraisa at all. It's needed for another purpose. The first 1,000 Amos is for this Migrash. We'll see what Rashi will explain to what that means in a second. The other Amos, the other 1,000 Amos, is for Sado Sukramim. Look at Rashi. Rashi is Migrash. Rechava Pnuya Mizriya. It's supposed to be a road, an area that's that's vacant from any planting. When we bought them, Milanos, no houses, no trees. Lenoi ha'ir, lios la'avir, to have just space. It's nice to have some just an acres of open grass. Va'paim lo huskaru l'satatan l'levim lo nemer elo l'itzias tchum Shabbos. That was according to Rabbi Kiva. But came along Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi, Aglili. Sados ukramim, no, the next 1,000 Amos were the purpose of fields and vineyards. Va'paim saviv nasnu l'levim ehem henichu elef saviv ha'ir l'migrash v'ashar sados ukramim. That was a setup. So when you walk to a city, first you see these beautiful gardens and vineyards and fields, and then you walk and there's 1,000 Amos of nice, freshly mowed grass, and then you walk to the walled city. And that's how it's supposed to look. There's an element of beauty when it comes to the cities in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi makes another Joshua, Boba Yom, that very day. Darish Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva made another Joshua. Pasuk says, Oz Yashir Moshev Nei Yisrael Es Hashira Azos LaHashem Vayomu Leimor. So that moment, we know that Kriyas Yamsuf Moshe Rabbeinu sang a song, Bnei Yisrael also sang with him. Shane Tamalomer Lemor, why does it say Lemor? Ma Tamalomer Lemor. It says Shei Vayomru. Just Vayomru. Why Vayomru Lemor? Milamed Shehoyu Yisrael Onim Shira Acharav Shemosha Koldavar Vadavar Kikor Mesahalo. That there is this type of back and forth. And we're going to elaborate on this. But almost like the Chazan says, Hodul Hashem Kitov, Kilim Chazdo, and then they repeat, Hodul Hashem Kitov, Kilim Chazdo. They have this back and forth, this dialogue between the Chazan, Moshe Benu, and the rest of Klai Yisrael is Vayomu Lemor, Vayomu Lemor. They said what he told them to say. They repeated word after word. Similar to Halo. Okay. Rashi tells the Gemara wants to explain a little bit more what this means. Then the Gemara says, L'chach ne'amar lemor, that's why it says lemor, to tell us this din, that they would repeat back and forth. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, kikorin is a shema, v'lo kikorin is a hala. No. You're right, they had some type of dialogue in their singing, but it wasn't like Hallel, but rather it was like Shema. And the Gemara will explain what that means as well, that they were repeating one after the next with regards to Shema. Now, another drasha that took place that day was Bo Bayom, that very day, Darash Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus, Lo Avod Eov Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Ma'ava. Very interesting line here. We have a number of sugyas about how Eov served Hashem, and this Gemara tells us that he served him Ba'ava. He served him with a tremendous amount of love. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that I assume that appears in Eov, it says, Hein Yiktilenu Lo Ayachel Ach Drachai El Panav Ochiach. Okay, I'm going to need help with this translation here.
Why were he to kill me for him, I would still yearn.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Meaning, even if Hashem were to take his life, he would look forward to cleaving to him in the world to come. Therefore, it was not fear of death, but love that fueled his devotion to Hashem.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you see, this is a pasuk that tells us that he still loved Hashem, even though he's going through a tremendous amount of Yisurim. And then the Gemara says, Vadayin, Mishra says, Vadayin hadavar shakulo, it's still a shakul, it's still an even match, it's still a safik. What's a safik? Ani mitape, o eini mitape. Whether I'm going to look forward or not look forward. Was it meaning even though he's willing to accept upon Hashem anyway, he would ever, even if Hashem would take his life away, not sure whether or not he was it mi'ava or was it mi'yira? Is there a Rashi here? Rashi says, which one? That's another one, I think. So Tamalomar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ad egvalo asir tumasi mimeni, until he takes my life from me, says Eov. Milamed shim me'ava asa. That teaches us that it was me'ava. So again, the first pasuk, again, let's read that clearly. First pasuk says, Hei niktileni, had he taken me, lo ayachel, I wouldn't turn away from him. So I wouldn't turn away means he won't do anything negative. But did he? Was that out of ava or was that out of love? And from the next pasuk it says, when it says, Egva lo aser tumasi mimeni, I won't remove for myself any my tumasi. Is that lashon of tam? Any my tamimus? How are they interpreting that word?
I will not cast off my wholesomeness from myself.
Uh-huh. So wholesomeness, lashon of tam. So again, the way you read it is, Ad egva lo asir, ad egva, until I die, lo asir, I will not remove tumasi mimeni. I'm not going to remove my tam from me, my tamimus from me, which implies the full-hearted, the complete way of serving Hashem is me'ava. So you see that Eov, even at the hardest of times, he was serving Hashem from a place of ava. Then the Mishnah continues to say, Rabban Amar Bishua, mi yigla afar me'necha, Rabban Yochum and Zakai, who's going to remove the dust from the eyes of Rabbi Yochanan Medakai, Shais and Dorish, that you, Rabbi Yochanan Medorish, call your mecha in all your days, Shalom, Avid Eov, Esamakum, Ela Meira. You darshan the other way around. You had said that Eov only served Hashem through Yira. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Ish Tam V'yashar, Yira Elokim, V'sar Mera. So this Pasuk is how Eov is described right in the beginning, before everything bad happens to Eov, when he was the person in the world, he was the God of Hador, and comes along the Satan says to Hashem, Hashem says, to, you know, Satan went around the world and he saw all these wonderful people. And Hashem says to the Satan, did you put your eyes yet on Eov? Did you look how great Eov is? Eov is wonderful. And the Satan says, he's not so great. Eov says, what do you mean? He's as great as Avraham Avinu is. And Satan says, let me test him. Let's see how good he is. And he tests him and he tests him and he loses property and he loses his kid. He loses his wife. He loses everything. He loses everything in the end of the day. And even through all this Charles Yisrim he went through, but in the beginning he was called an Ish Tam V'yasha Yir Elokim. So, V'samira. So he called him a Yira, because in the beginning he was a Yir Elokim. It doesn't say Avas Elokim, it says Yir Elokim. So, Halo Yoshua Tamid Tamidecha Lamin Shim Avasa. So now Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, look at the Nachas you have. Your Tamid is going against you. He's darshaning based on another Pasuk that he was the Tamim that refers to is the Me'ava. He really served Hashem Me'ava. Rashi just points out this last Rashi in the Amud here. He says, Tamid Tamidecha Tamido Shir Bekiva Haya. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. Very long Mishnah. Okay. Shkoyach.